Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We have a very fun topic this afternoon because today is the launch of the 2018 Bridgewalk campaign. Wow, I'm so excited. Ashwini and I are going to lay out as much of the fabulous vision as we can. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to do our very best. So thanks for being with us, Ashwini.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure, Jen. It's one of the most exciting things possible. I don't know. I'm so excited, and the campaign still hasn't launched.
I know, exactly. Just wound up, I think, is the term that I would use. So I wonder if you would do the honors and start us off.
Well, where to start? I think I Team 150K was the campaign from last year, and we had a vision for that, which is where I think the campaign for this year started. And the vision was the project is flourishing, the project in Africa is flourishing, and we have a very, very generous Sangha who has supported the project and allowed it to be what it is today. Mm-hmm. And so, one, due to the change in the exchange rate, and two, because we're doing so much in the project, the fundraising approach had to be different. So it was not just sufficient for all of Sangha to fundraise in contributing directly, but to include friends and family in that fundraising effort in order to make sure that we raised what we needed in order to support the work of the project. And so Team 150K last year attempted to do that. And, you know, it was a wonderful campaign, and we didn't meet our goal, but we had so much fun doing it. And part of what we realized is we needed a way to make it easier and simpler for folks to spread the word about the campaign and have people, you know, their friends and family and neighbors and everybody to have an easy way to contribute to the campaign. And so this year's campaign in sort of logistically assists us to carry forward the momentum of the year before in terms of the platform and the tools that we've designed to assist people to have a lot more fun in fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
No, please. Please, you're on a roll.
Well, and I think that part of what was really, really exciting about the focus of this campaign, so the campaign is celebrate courage,
generosity, and family,
and follow their lead. And so, you know, while we were developing the campaign, we just paused to recognize how far we've come and how much good news there is about the campaign and how inspiring the stories of the project are. And so there's a way in which this campaign is a completely different approach than what we've taken before in how we present the work in Africa as a culmination of the success of the years of work that have been done. I mean, the stories are amazing. The project is so powerful, and so to me, the excitement that I feel and I project you feel is how we've been able to put forth the project, present it.
Yes, that is what's thrilling, Ashwini. It's completely thrilling because what I just saw when you said that was, and this, if you, you know, we have, all of us who have been working on this, just steeped in the history of the project again for the last 10 days, which is such a gift. Oh, my gosh. But looking at that vision statement, which is what we are up against, what we encountered when we first got there, and the need was enormous, and that was what was compelling. And that, I feel like, is what drew us all forth. And it's so amazing that 13 years later, what's compelling is the success. That's what's drawing us forth now, is how incredibly successful and generous and courageous this group of people have been and how much we want to be part of supporting that to continue.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's the celebration of courage, generosity, and family. Those words are very specifically picked because it represents what it has taken on taken to get this community to this place.
Yep.
Everything that they've done to show up, and everything that Sangha has done to support that showing up. And it says, follow their lead. That's the tagline for their campaign, because it's their stories, their willingness, their courage, their determination that inspires us to continue the support for that program. And it's not so much an us and them, but such a collective rising up of energy and excitement, you know, and participation. I mean, I think part of what this campaign hinges around is the story of Miriam and Sylvia going to college, the first girls who graduated from Living Compassion and made it to nursing school. And that good news update that you did with Sri Devi, I think, it provoked such a response from Sangha. I mean, people had tears in their eyes listening to this. And that's that sense of family that we are talking about celebrating here, because it's not something that's a project somewhere that we're contributing to in some abstract way. Everybody knows the names of these people. We know Teresa, and we know Josephine, and we know Josephine's baby and her struggles. And everybody who's participated in this campaign has a very specific and detailed relationship with the people in the project, and we're all part of it.
Well, and you know, Ashwani, it's so funny you say that, because right before the interview, I reached up and took off my wall this framed picture that I have had on my wall for over 10 years of, you know, in the project, we have a way that you can symbolically, quote, sponsor a child, which is really a way of being a monthly donor and holding a particular child in your heart. It's not that that child won't eat if I don't contribute, but it's kind of a symbolic gesture. So I just was always, ever since we started going there, the first 100 children was taken with this little girl, Benedette. I took my picture, her picture off the wall, and it's not that I didn't know this, but it just suddenly just really struck me right before this. She is one of the 12th graders who is about to take her 12th grade exams. This little girl who's in my hand right now, she's about to take her 12th grade exams.
Yeah, well, that gives me chills, because she's one of those girls that we are inviting people to support her college education, right?
That's one of the nine projects. You know, maybe we want to say a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, so the campaign is Celebrate Courage, Compassion, Courage, Generosity, and Family, Follow Their Lead. And there are nine stories or nine projects, each of which has a specific fundraising goal. There's a fabulous new site where the nine projects are laid out with unbelievable pictures and the most powerful stories about each of those aspects of the project as symbolized by a person in that project. So, for example, there's a project called Charles's Classroom, and it talks about, you know, the wonderful work that Charles does in his classroom and all the kids that have benefited from Charles's tenacity, right? So we're inspired by Charles's tenacity to form a team that would fund the stipends for those teachers. So the nine stories actually really beautifully lays out what the project is about, where the focus of attention is, what we could adopt as a project that we want to contribute to. And so it's lovely. People who go onto the site will just marvel at the storytelling that's there, and all of the tools that are available to spread the word about that. And so the platform actually allows you to pick a particular project, learn all about it, read the story, look at the pictures, and then the cool thing about the site is that you can actually create a fundraising page, create your own fundraising goal, share that story, share your perspective, send emails, post it on social media if you wanted to, with your network of friends and family, and then raise money to your fundraising goal. And it's just delightful to me that the platform that we're using was also suggested by somebody in Sangha, whose daughter went to Africa and then was moved to introduce us to this fabulous platform, that's going to allow us to do the campaign this year. And so it's just, I just, the synchronicity of that gives me goosebumps.
Incredible. Me too. And the unfolding of it, Ashwini, right? Because it's, yeah, just how that seed was planted, you know, whatever it was when she first told us about it. And we knew at the time there was just a little bing, you know, that's something.
Yes.
But we weren't there yet. So last year we did the 150K. That was amazing. That was the beginning of it. And then, boom, here we were. Just all of it came together in a remarkably concentrated period of time. It's really incredible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the it's live on the site. So there's a page on our current website under the Africa Project, which says 2018 campaign.
Ashwini, I actually think, I mean, all of this has been worked on so much. And so I don't think that link has been made live yet. I'm looking at it right now. So you might, we might have literally like a 30-minute delay on that.
Yeah, it's called Follow Your Follow Their Lead. And if you click on it, there's a whole context to, and I bet, Jen, that Bob's listening to this right now. And so by the time Good News is over, that link will be live.
Yeah, the 2017 link is up there right now. So you'll be looking, when you go onto the site, you're watching for the 2018 link to come live. Yeah.
That's right. And it gives you the context of the campaign and the steps that you will be guided towards taking. There's a link to the new website with all of the 9 projects, and you can just select whichever project you want to support and create your fundraiser around it. And there are all kinds of exciting tools to do that with, or you could just directly donate to a project of your choice. So you could be an individual doing this or a fundraiser doing this.
Yeah. And there's so much more, truly, we could say about it and explore about it, Ashwini, which we actually will be doing, because the campaign runs from now until the middle of January, which is also
That's
new.
Right. Yes. Yes. Our goal is $100,000, which is just about what it takes in order to support all aspects of the campaign now. I mean, all aspects of the project now. It's going for an extended period of time. Because that too was our we learned from the team 150K about how long it took for people to do their fundraisers, and it encompasses all of the giving seasons, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas,
exactly.
Tax season, and it's much more the robust is the word that comes to mind when I look at the whole campaign, and so I'm just so excited because I'm projecting that as we swing into this campaign season, we're going to have lots of people who've interacted with the website on Good News talking about their experience and why they're excited and what they're doing about their fundraisers. And we have, you know, support calls and possibly calls with the project stream from Africa. And there's just a lot more to announce. But today we're just going to say, the campaign is live. Go check it out.
The campaign is live. And in addition to, as you said, linking off the website, there's also an email that's going to go out by the end of the day today that will also have links to all of those things. And just a really big encouragement to just make yourself a cup of tea or coffee or lemonade or water or whatever you drink and take some time to go through that site. Gosh, it's magnificent. And just, you know, if nothing else, just learn more about the project. And as you say, move through those beautiful photos. Oh, we could do a whole other Good News update on the just how putting it together was a perfect illustration of the team. I mean, we were on the phone with Teresa. We were Skyping with her. We were back and forth every day. Okay, here's what we need today, Teresa. We need a photo of the with the And she'd go, okay, great. She'd go out.
Yes. And I believe you spoke to her this morning, and her first comment was, oh, my God, how cute I look in that chitenge. I mean, that just –
I truly wish, Ashwini, that that had been one of those calls that the entire Sangha was on. What I did was I did screen sharing with her, and I walked her through the site. She was ecstatic, and you're right, that was so on the landing page when people see it, there's a beautiful photograph of Josephine and Teresa with Josephine's newest baby, and her first comment, look at how cute I look in that chitenge. And I loved it because it was just after the morning show where we were talking about how challenging it can be to see the good things in ourselves. And I just thought,
yeah.
You nailed it, Teresa. That's right.
Yeah. It's a perfect reason why the campaign is titled Follow Their Lead.
Yes.
You know?
Beautiful point.
Yeah.
Beautiful point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly so.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our time, Jen, so I'm going to hand the show over to Sherry, but I project that we'll continue to have a lot more good news updates between now and January with as people interact with the site and do their fundraisers.
Yeah, and so much gratitude to you, Ashwini, to everyone who put all of this together. And to everyone who's going to be participating with us over these months, really, really exciting.
Yes, and we'll unfold the details as we go along because there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot more.
Where the next bridge walk is going to be, because there perhaps when I get Sherry online,
good.
we'll just mention that a little bit. Yes.
Okay, very good. As you say, I'll turn the show over to you, Ashwini.
Thanks a lot, Jen.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. That was fun.
Oh, that was so fun. That was so fun. I just wanted to say a little bit about the Bridge Walk, that this year we're not holding the event in Crissy Fields. The campaign is designed to be around the intent of the Bridge Walk rather than the event of the Bridge Walk. And it just seemed so wonderful this year to hold the Bridge Walk in Africa rather than hold it in Crissy Fields here. And so that's what we're going to do.
Yes. That is what we're going to do, and we are going to go there to do it.
Exactly. Yes. It will be such fun. Yeah. So,
well,
a completely different approach.
Yes. And so I just want to chime in with what you two were talking about, because I haven't been this excited about anything in quite a while, quite frankly. I just think this is the most fabulous, and we've done some fabulous things, okay, but I think this is the most fabulous, as you two were saying, and huge gratitude to you and Jen and Bob, and I don't know who all has been involved in this, but it is just stellar. And if somebody didn't know anything about that project, by the time they got through reading what you folks have put together, there would be such a clear grasp of what's going on there, of what has been accomplished and what we're attempting to accomplish now and all the people that it takes to do that. And it's just breathtaking. So very excited.
Yes, I can't wait for people to go onto the site and give us some feedback about what it is that they're seeing about it.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to be a fundraiser. You know, I just want to send it to everybody so that you know, that other people can be invited into it and get a sense of why we're so excited about this.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those you have to have your own experience.
Yeah. And, you know, I said to somebody who I actually know fairly well recently, I just made the comment, and, you know, we feed 1,000 kids every day. The look on their face, it was just, you what? And I thought, how could somebody that I know this well, that we, you know, I interact with this much, how could they not know that? Because it seems like, you know, it's kind of, we talk about it a lot. But as you two were saying, there are so many details of this that it's really hard to grasp. the whole thing. And I think that that's what you folks have done with this campaign, is really put it together in a way that people can get the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's a very powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, I have a few announcements before we go on with the show. So here
okay.
they are. The first announcement, Reflective Listening Buddies, a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, allowing participants to show up and practice being present on a weekly basis, is now open for registration. A new quarter begins October 15th. Also beginning October 15th is a six-week conference called Retreat in Recording and Listening, which will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. These calls will be fun, experiential, and transformative. A new group coaching opportunity, Compassionate Scheduling with a Mentor, will look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. The coaching begins on October 30th. You, Sherry, will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. The event is free and is part of the campus's Contemplation by Design Summit, and Sherry will be talking about using tools to focus the attention to live authentically. And my God, it's already time, but coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness at the New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. For these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
It is astounding, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So here's where I say, if you want to speak with Sherry and to make a show, please press *6. And one topic, please, and 5 minutes.
That's it.
So here we go.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice from Victoria, Canada, and I'm so excited to hear about that launch.
Oh, it is a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. And to have, well, what I'm imagining are there tools, because I didn't really have a way other than kind of word of mouth and saying some things to tell people about it. And
yeah.
Now it sounds like we'll be able to click and invite in.
Yes, yes, yep. Technology, once again, is supporting us in ways that were unimaginable just a short while ago.
Yeah, so helpful. Oh, mm-hmm. So deep gratitude for everybody who's made that happen.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And what I saw, too, when I was thinking, when I heard you say that, you know, you're going to send a message out to everybody that you know, and I was thinking, well, there are people I'm going to invite, and I was thinking, it would be really fun if there's a whole overlap, because there's
right.
other people in practice that could be sending it, and I could be donating to various things. Different ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a win-win.
Yeah. That it really is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when I read about these nine parts of the project, I thought, oh, I want to support that one. No, I want to support that one. No, I want to support that one. and I thought, that's going to be, I'm just going to have to put them all in a hat and draw one out, because I love them all. Or maybe I'll just support them all. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going to say that I spoke maybe about a month ago about communication, and I'm looking forward to the communication book coming out and just seeing areas of my life where I might decide that I'm not, well, conditioning would decide I can't communicate about something, keep me silent, or, you know, it might actually tell me that I've been communicating too much, it's time to be quiet, something like that. It's really interesting to have looked at it. And one of the things that I noticed that it was fiddling around with was that I felt really like I'd missed the boat on being able to come to a particular retreat that I really had my heart set on. And I know that I was dragging my heels a little bit because I didn't know what my circumstances would be here. So I just wanted to say that I communicated that. I know I'm on a wait list. And then I proceeded to get all the ducks in a row. So I've got flights, I've got hotels, I've got everything all set up. And I'm raring to go if there happens to be a space available. And that's what I'm communicating. And then the letting go of what will happen, you know, of just like whatever happens, but I've done my part.
That's it, isn't it? That's it, absolutely. We do everything that we can do, which is not a process of noodling, right? We just take the steps so that we put everything in place that we can put in place, and we have no idea how it's going to go. But our part is to do our part.
Yes. Yeah, and all the medical things that, you know, I needed to know about, you know, the person I would be leaving behind, they've all come out, I'd say, pretty positive to know that the space is available for me to be able to do this. And there's some more next week, but I didn't have to sit there and cry over the fact that I missed the opening and I didn't know, and darn it if some life was different. And I just, and if anything changes, I will let everybody know. But right now, I just thought that it was just so much better than noodling.
Yes, because the thing about depending on our circumstances, conditioning would like to, you know, always give us the information that's going to work against us. You could have been the first person who signed up for that retreat, and that still wouldn't mean that you would be at the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
any
circumstance, in the same way, anything can happen. So whether you were the first to sign up or whether you missed the deadline, we still don't know what's going to happen.
No. No. Exactly. No. And so as a backup, what I've done is I've actually booked the flights, and it doesn't require a hotel. I can get home in one day for the New Year's. Whether or not I can go, I've done that part, because that's an even harder time to book flights.
Aha. Yeah. I just love it. It's such a beautiful attitude of mind. We just do our part, and we live in gratitude for what is. Trusting that whatever it is for us.
Yes. Yeah, so I just, I kind of have to honor the tenacity of doing that. Mm-hmm.
And that's the point, Janice. That's the point. You get to live in the enjoyment of being that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
That's the point. And so in that way, you are never held out of anything. Because from the moment that it occurs to you until the moment whatever happens, happens, you are living as the person who shows up with willingness and openness and trust and enjoyment and gratitude. That's the life you get to live, not I'll be happy if I get what I want, and I'm going to be unhappy until I know I do get what I want. And if I don't get what I want, I'm sure to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for putting that in words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And when we have that attitude of mind, it actually doesn't matter what happens because we're already living in the best life that it's possible for us to have. You're already enjoying life as much as you can enjoy life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
Love
you.
It. Thank you so much. All right. Go happy.
Yeah. Go happy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Janice. That is so inspiring, Sherry, to have that, to put out an intention for something that you want and then to do all your part in order to have that and then let go to life to do the rest.
Yes.
And to know that your happiness is not conditional on the outcome. I just
That's
love
right.
the way you said it. I said, I can't even remember now. It just went out of my head. But that I can be, I'm that person. I live in the enjoyment of being the person who does what is in their part to do, and what happens happens because I'm
and
happy
what
no matter
happens.
What.
That's right. That's there. That's the summation of the whole thing, right? I'm happy no matter what. Because because of how I get to be.
Yes.
Not because of what I get.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not because I get what I want, but I'm happy because I'm happy.
Yes.
It's just the whole thing, as you said. It's completely the whole thing. Just completely changes the way we live a life.
Yes. Yep. I'm grateful that I get to be grateful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I know how to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm on.
Yes,
Hi, this
you
is
are.
Steve from Calgary.
Hello, Steve.
I'm really happy to be on the phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, great. Yeah, I came back from the Nothing Wrong With You workshop in August, and it's been quite an amazing experience ever since I got back. I don't even know where to begin. It's just been amazing. I read your books years ago, and I been rereading them all, devouring them all again, and the words have such a completely different resonance for me right now as I'm going through them, and just the very act of sitting every morning has been just invaluable. I sat for 10 minutes a day for about a year, starting a year ago, and that's probably what got me finally to come and do the retreat. And so it's just taken everything to such a much deeper level. And, I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude around all of that.
Isn't it so interesting? Like, we read a book and, that kind of book, and think, yeah, I get that. And we do. We do get it. We get what we get, right? And then your practice deepens. You read the same thing, and it's a completely different message.
Yeah, no.
And it's such a wonderful, I don't know what it is, but it just shows us that even though those voices would want us to believe that nothing's changed, you know, you're still the same, it's really not working. Maybe they're not trying that on you yet, but of course they will. And what you get to see for yourself is that your practice is changing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some days where I've just almost finished rereading your depression book, actually, which is one it was interesting. That was the one I was almost always reluctant to read. And one day I was thinking, you know,
sounds depressing, doesn't it?
It does. And I was thinking, you know what?
Yeah.
Guess what? I am depressed. Maybe I should read this again. And I working through those kinds of days when I experience how that's called, this depression, is really just, it made so much sense to me this time. These are feelings that I'm having that I'm feeling reluctant to even look at. And
yes.
So, you know, again, sitting through it and being more curious, okay, well, what exactly am I feeling? What are the sensations? What are my judgments about it? What are my, you know, where am I going with these thoughts? And saying, you know, okay, well, what could happen? And it really helps move through it a lot faster and just back to being alive. And
yeah.
So,
well, Steve, what I hear in that, what I project in that, and you can tell me if I'm right about this, you're no longer afraid of you. Or we could say you're no longer afraid of him.
That's partly true. That I think that's accurate. Although one of the things that has driven underneath all of those, my particular thing of a depression is fear, and not even wanting to acknowledge that I am afraid of whatever is going on. And so just, you know, again, just saying, okay, well, let's see what this fear is about. Let's have a look
that's
at
right.
it.
That's right. That's the you're not afraid.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's see. All right, well, let's look at that and that attitude of, let's look into it. Let's just do a little exploration here. Because what could happen? What's the worst that could happen? To me, that's what you've gotten out of this whole work that you've done. There isn't a worst thing that's going to happen. The worst thing has already happened. It's what drove you to awareness practice.
Yeah.
Now it's just understanding things, seeing them, breaking them apart, teasing them apart, seeing what the components are, seeing what the beliefs, the assumptions are. You look at those things, you see them for what they are, you step back, you're free of them. That's the process that you now know how to do and know that it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting, I have to say.
It is exciting. It's completely thrilling. To know how to be free is completely thrilling.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just want to get on with it, right?
Yeah.
Just want to get on with it. Okay, well, what else? Where else?
Yeah.
Where else am I not free? What else is troubling me? Come on. Let's take it apart. Let's look at it. Let's see. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And the energy that builds as you do that, instead of that depressed, repressed, oh, God, no, it's the energy just builds and builds as it's freed up inside of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing.
Happy for you.
Thank you. One last observation I want to make is, you know, I do assurances before I sit, like just before I start my meditation and right afterwards. And the sense of being centered is and being so happy with myself and in love with myself has been just a joyful thing. And I've gone to a couple social situations and I was caught off guard the first couple times. And there were these conversations with these other people happening, and suddenly I started feeling myself outside of it, because whatever, they were talking about some person and, oh, what a beautiful big house they have or whatever. And then I started going to this old place, letting the voices start nattering at me. And it took me a day or two to realize it. And then the next time I went out, I thought, oh, I can just be centered and be happy with myself. I don't have to buy any of the stuff that I'm hearing. And yeah. It was...
You don't have to leave you, right?
Yeah.
You can just stay with you. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to see before you left you.
Yeah.
And went off into conditioning and then my experience of that is feeling lonely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Feeling separate, feeling isolated.
Yeah.
And then to realize, no, I can stay with my own experience, and people are talking about whatever they're talking about, and I can just enjoy them talking about whatever they're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I'm really glad I had a chance to talk, and just thank you for all the work you're doing, and I'm really feeling connected to the community and doing lots of stuff through, going to do my first reflective listening buddies coming up here, so I'm really excited about that. And
Yeah. That's fun. Yeah, stay close. It's the secret. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Go happy.
Gasho. You too.
Gasho.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Nursery, that conversation just reminded me of the one we had on the morning radio show in answer to the question of what is the nicest thing that you can say about yourself, and one of the callers said the ability to be with my experience. It's sort of what we were hearing in that conversation, right?
Yes.
That
yes.
When once we recognize that the me that we identify with is ego and not me, then there's a way in which we can be with our experience of ourselves and that authenticity. The
yes.
reference that Jen made when Teresa can look at herself and say, how cute I look in that chimpanzee, you know?
Yes.
That innocent, yes. loving, kind, encouraging, smiling appreciation of the human incarnation and the place
yes.
from which that comes. And that's what we get to practice when we get that I'm not it.
Yes. Yes, that we really get to simply enjoy and appreciate the human being without that overlay of, well, this is what's wrong with you, and this is how you should be, and you didn't do that, and why that, and
yes.
what, yeah. Without
yes,
that
and
conversation.
We get to that, yeah, and with what Stephen was saying was just, I get to look at my process, really, what's going on with me, and the fear-mongering that the conditioned voices start up don't prevent me from actually looking at what's going on for me and the confidence that I have, the tools to be able to be with any experience. It's
mm-hmm.
truly the most liberating place to live from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And straightforward.
And straightforward. Yes. Clean.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So simple. And again, that's, you can just feel the energy bubble up in that
yeah.
when it's not being siphoned off into all of that negative nonsense in the head. It's just all right here, and it's exciting and thrilling. And
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, I'm going to attempt to play one of our ads, and we'll see if it works.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
All right. Sherry, are you back?
I am.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Very well.
Oh, very good. Yes, this is Richard in New York.
Hello, Richard.
Yeah. And I just started today during the morning show, which is at noon here, to go back into the queue. And it was just an effortless thing, and it generates all that excitement and all that energy.
It does, doesn't it? It makes us wonder why we ever decide not to do that.
Exactly. Well, I am very clear about how dominated I get by all the negative thoughts. The separate self, egocentric, karma conditioned mind. And so from the morning show, I wanted to mention the thing that stuck with me was really totally beautiful and related directly to this was the our goodness is assured.
You could feel the truth of it, couldn't you, Richard?
Yes. And you know, there's quite a discussion going on around the issues of suicide, and there was just an incredible piece on one of the evening news shows where the girl, the teenage, is a special problem for teenagers, and she was like just as outgoing as could be and talked to her parents and this and that. But then after she committed the act, they found these notebooks, which indicated that she was living in self-hatred just every moment. So it was so relevant to this this issue, this point.
Yeah. I so wish the information were more available to people. That's a system. It's a thing. It's not personal. We don't need to believe it. We don't need to act out of it. It's not true. It's so sad. It's such a waste.
Right. I know. One time you said to me about how I had talked about how badly I had beat myself up, and you said, "Now that's such a waste, wasn't it, or isn't it, or something like that." So all I know is that I'm learning little by little, more and more, and better to turn my attention to such a thought as your goodness is assured, and just how I am good, and so.
That's not anything that is needs to be negotiated.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there was an adjacent thought, and that's an odd way to put it, but about that also, everyone else's goodness as well.
Yes. And we can see, ooh, we got an echo there. I hear myself echoing in the background. We can see with that young woman that the only thing that happened was that she didn't realize that goodness is what she is. So we get very far away from it. And one person will commit suicide. Another person will kill someone else. Another person will, you know, whatever it is, just the most despicable acts that we can commit as human beings. All of that is what's added on top of that goodness. And that if we could get through all that ugliness and nastiness that self-hatred is doing, we would touch into that goodness and realize what we are. But what we're conditioned to believe is it's exactly the opposite, that down inside is this roiling cesspool of awfulness, and that we're putting this little thin veneer of okayness on top of it. And that if we're not careful, we're going to fall into that pit of horribleness and be all the time what the voices say we are. So once again, it's been twisted. It's been turned upside down so that what we see is the self-hatred instead of the goodness.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for putting that into words, as someone earlier said, and putting it so clearly. Okay, well, that's it for me now.
You're just going to go off and enjoy that goodness, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Yes, why not? That's what we're alive to be able to do. I swear, I think that's the case. We are here to realize that what we are is unconditional love, and to learn to have that, to feel it, to experience, to share it, to offer it, to give it. That's the deal. And so to enjoy the goodness that you are makes you available to share that with the rest of us. So it's your job. It's your assignment.
Right. And it also can lend itself to everything we would like to see happen in terms of changes in the world.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Richard. You know, Sherry, it makes me so grateful for this practice and for what this practice gives us that's so unique in the world, in that it identifies self-hate as a process. Because without that, there's no way you can get beyond the conditioning to get to the authenticity.
Yeah.
It's just for it to be named.
It certainly is very difficult when a person is convinced that it's all one thing.
Yes.
And that I am responsible for making myself not be those hateful ways, and instead to make myself be good. That's a rugged road.
It's rugged because, as someone said on the morning show, it's based on a false belief that you're not good in the first place.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
in fact, you're bad.
Yes,
and
you're bad.
Somehow improve yourself into goodness. And
yes, exactly.
It's horrible.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. Oh, I was, I'm getting pulled in by the voices, and it's funny. I was just trying to feel like I was getting excited by the those waves that happen, and feeling like those undulations are part of the process. And then it just came around like that I was actually getting pulled under. I really was, you know, just having that experience today and aware of that, but really just my, it's like I couldn't see properly. I just, everything I, like you talk about seeing through that lens. And I was aware of this being like a guilt attack, and knowing what that was, and then I don't even know where to start right now because there are so many different things coming up, and then there's the fear and this thing I'm looking at right now of like the. Well, it came up when we were talking about the fundraising, because I had this reaction like, I'm going to be afraid to do that. I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to reach out in that way and yeah, to put myself out there like that, and this feeling of like, yeah, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that, and kind of start to separate. And and then also a feeling of, and I mean, this is just an example of coming up in other ways in my life, but also this feeling like, well, is that okay to be afraid? Like, is it okay if I want to be okay with that. Like, then there comes this, oh, you should. You have to get over that. And why haven't you gotten over that? And you should. And then there's a place of like, well, is it
so
okay
helpful.
To not, yeah. Is it okay to just be like, well, I'm not the kind of person who likes to fundraise. Like, can that be okay? And maybe I'll contribute in another way, but I also know there's this fear.
Yeah. And so, actually, no, right? The answer is no. Because it's not okay. What's not okay is for that system to do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there were no, I mean, let's see, I don't know. I don't actually know all of the things that you do, but so is it okay that you don't spend every weekend jumping out of airplanes? Sure, of course it is. Absolutely. If you didn't jump out of an airplane because you would wake up in the middle of every night in a cold sweat of terror that you were going to jump out of an airplane, then we would say, Emily, we got to address this.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any value in it? Inherently, no, but when we are controlled like that by fear, then we have to address the fear, not the content of the fear, because that's irrelevant, but the fear itself. So you mm-hmm. want, I think, to help her be able to do anything she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be controlled by, well, you can't do that because you're not that kind of person and you would be too afraid and you can't put yourself out there. And I mean, this implication that hideous things are going to happen to you if you do that. Well, no, that's not okay.
Yeah.
We can't leave her there.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be controlled by fear.
Right.
But just like, what about just, yeah, well, I guess I'm asking the same thing, like just choosing not to, like something
but
performing.
But you know you're not choosing not to.
Well, maybe, I don't know, sometimes I think I am, like, I just...
Well, except, Emily, the reaction, right? if there had been no reaction whatsoever, and, well, I mean, it's really hard to imagine. This is your Sangha, right? And mm-hmm. this is something your Sangha does. And these kids are really cute. And and you want kids to eat. And you want kids to go to school. And, you know, have a chance at a life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's really no reason not to do it, except that the voices tell you that you would be too afraid to do it. And so if the voices weren't telling you that you were too afraid to do it, then I project you would be really excited about doing it. If you had no fear about it whatsoever, you would be really excited about it, because these are really cute kids and they get to eat and they get to go to school and they get to have a future. And you get to participate in making that happen. That's a really fun, exciting thing to be able to do. Yeah. And so that's the essence of it to me, when we can get past is there any particular reason that anybody should do this? No, not really, except we're your people, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, we are your tribe. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing your tribe is doing, and you do like to participate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by bringing that kind of conscious awareness to a subject, you have moved through a lot of things that same system would tell you you can't do, you can't participate in, you, right?
What do you mean I've moved through a lot of things?
You've done things that system would have wanted to convince you couldn't do.
Yeah, but I'm still afraid.
Of course. Of course.
I don't know that helps.
That's why we keep practicing. Because it will do the same thing to us, right? Always. So that's mm-hmm. its deal. It is fear, and that's how it controls us. So it's just going to keep coming up with the next thing that, oh, yeah, but you can't do that. Oh, but that, not that. And then we just, you know, step by step by step, we go through that and go, well, actually, I did. Well, yeah, but you can't do this. That, you can't do that. And that, to me, is a great deal of what a lifetime is just moving through those you can't, until we realize there's actually nothing we can't do. We're absolutely free. If it occurs to us, then we could do it. If it's in our path, then it's for us. And so, of course, we can do that, because here it is. It's for me to do. Of course I can do it, because I will have all the help and support that I need to do it.
Yeah. It just feels insurmountable right now.
Mm-hmm. It does, but I bet between the two of us, with a little bit of effort, we could come up with a list of insurmountable things that you have surmounted.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, like going on retreat.
Yeah.
Remember how scary that used to be?
Well, no. I feel like that's something I can, like, that doesn't scare me that much. It's more like putting myself out there kind of in as the leader or in front of people. Well, I guess there's a lot of being in front or speaking up. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, Emily, that might be a really helpful exercise to do, kind of a la the morning show, you know, to make a list of the things that you were told you couldn't do, or things that you were afraid to do, and that you've done. And, you know, I mean, you still might get some butterflies in the stomach at the thought or at the doing it, but you do it. You do it.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's that much.
Well, I bet you if you open to it, you'll come up with quite a list.
Yeah.
Go back over a lifetime, okay? I remember book reports. I thought if I had to do another book report, I was probably pretty much going to just die right there on the spot.
Yeah, well, I'll give it a try.
Good. That's good. And ask for help, okay?
Okay.
Ask for help. Sit quietly. Ask for a little help, a little guidance, a little insight and inspiration, and see what happens. And then when it comes to you, be sure that you record it, right, so that you can listen again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go happy now, okay?
Okay.
See you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Emily. Sure, we have about 4 more minutes to the hour. Shall we bring one more caller? Okay.
Let's do it.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow.
Hi.
You're having it. Ah, good. Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. I'm looking at a process where I am having projections of I'm not good enough, that I have this taskmaster inside me, and then what happens is that there's a person that I work with who I believe also believes I'm not good enough. So my conditioning is I'm not good enough. I'm projecting that her projections are not, that I'm not good enough also. And struggling with that and not sure what to do.
Uh-huh. And so you project that she feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
And is it based in any reality, or you just...
Yes, it is. I mean, I just feel like that things I do are not, like, things that I feel, yeah, I mean, there's certain things that she complains about that I've done, and yeah, I feel like it's based on reality.
Okay. And does this happen all the time?
No, not all the time.
Okay, so periodically you get information that something you did displeased her.
Yes.
And does what she does it ever displease you?
Well, that's a good question, because I feel like I'm so identified that I can't really answer that question.
So you never hear a voice in your head criticize what she does?
Oh, yeah, there is one, I mean, all the time. And, you know, I feel like, but, you know, it's more like it's criticizing her for criticizing me.
Uh-huh. So she's not that great either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you didn't have that voice constantly criticizing you inside your head,
mm-hmm.
do you think you would be less likely to believe that she is criticizing you?
Yes. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I feel like, you know, this conditioning is already in my head, right, that I'm not good enough. And then when this external person, I project this external person is supporting that conditioning, then
that's the assumption. However, I would suggest that the way it actually works is that the same system that criticizes you, that tells mm-hmm. that says you're not good enough is projecting that belief on the other person. It's all one system. It's not like there's a reality that this person outside of you is having a particular experience that you're able to see, and that it's really valid and true and real. Mm-hmm. You're projecting it.
Yes, it's like, you know what it is? It's double reverse projections going on.
That's exactly right. You yeah. believe that she thinks about you what that voice in your head thinks about you.
Yes.
So here's the secret to the whole thing, right? You're not going to fix it with her.
Right.
The only place to fix it is inside your head.
Right.
Right? And the only way to fix it inside your head is to ignore it.
Yeah.
Because as long as you're indulging that inside your head, it's mm-hmm. going to be able to project out onto other people and make you doubly miserable.
Yes, and that's what it's been doing. It's really gotten in there the last week.
Yeah. So what are the techniques from practice that might interfere with that?
Well, I basically listening to radio shows as much as I can. When I swim, I basically swim for 45 minutes and I chant, "I choose peace," the entire time in my mouth with my breath.
And so let's go at it. That's all very, very good. Don't stop doing any of that.
Okay.
But let's add one other thing.
Yes.
And that is a very direct, the voices in my head say that I'm not good enough. And that is not true. Mm-hmm. I am clearly good enough. You could, you know, recite your credentials. Mm-hmm. Talk about your work, about what you do, about what people pay you to do, that you've been hired to do, and they pay you to do, and they continue to pay you to do, okay? So there is a vast amount of evidence that what that voice is saying is not true, and you mm-hmm. have to affirm that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying, I guess. So basically, would it be like basically challenging that voice and making a recording about that, or
yes, and not engaging with the voice, but uh-huh. just simply saying that the voice in my head, the self-hating voice in my head, says that I'm not good enough, and that's not true. And here is the evidence that that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you recite all of those things that refute what it's saying.
Okay.
There's huge evidence that you are good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that we're getting any information that you're not is mm-hmm. from a self-hating voice in your head.
Right.
Yeah, so you've got to put an end to that.
Okay, so if she says something that makes that whole system glob onto, basically what I could do, I guess, is just say, the voices, you know, like I project she's saying I'm not good enough, but instead I can say the voices in my head are saying I'm not good enough, and this is the evidence that refutes that, you know, basically.
That's right. That's right. And so that's one piece of it. And then when she says something, you can approach that, you know, well, she didn't like whatever it is. She expressed displeasure with that. Great. That doesn't say you're not good enough.
Right.
So, you know, I don't like what you fixed for dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as you're not a good person. That means I didn't like what you fixed for dinner tonight.
Right.
Those are two really separate issues, but the self-hating voice in your head has put them all together. So anytime anybody is critical of anything about you, that mm-hmm. translates into you're not good enough. No, I don't like it that you don't pick up the hoo-hoos after yourself, or you didn't finish the huh-huh. Okay, I didn't. All right, that is absolutely true. Does that mean I'm not good enough as a human being? No. No, it doesn't mean that.
Right. Right, and the other part of the duality I'm seeing now that you're saying all that is, you know, what happens is the self-hate's triggered, so I believe I'm not good enough, and it's projected onto me, and then it's also projected onto that other person.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the place to nip it is when it starts talking to you in your head. You train yourself that when that stuff starts in, you're, oh, okay, well, that's not true. That, mm-hmm. That's old self-hating conditioning. No, that's not true. Now, what's actually true is that I'm highly qualified. I'm a competent professional. I get paid to do what I'm trained to do. I do a great job. Mm-hmm. That's what's really true. So each time it comes up, let mm-hmm. it flag you. Oh, self-hate. No, that is not true. Those are lies. What's really true is, and you just launch into what's really true. And listen to that. Make those recordings, a lot of those recordings, and listen to them a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, and then going forward, we can work on when somebody says, I really don't like it that you blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We can work on how that is not saying you are an unfit human being. Yeah. Just, I want you not to put your shoes there, okay? Don't put your shoes there.
And the thing where it really gets me even more than the conversation is the sensation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And they're all one. They're all the same thing. You know, if you're terrified that you're going to burn up in a fire, and mm-hmm. somebody screams fire, there are going right. to be a lot of sensations in your body.
Right.
Yeah. So they just go together, and those voices say those things, and they're the sensations. And the sensations are there, and it means that, and no, it doesn't. And that's what you were teasing apart. So that you begin to realize that, no, those don't go together. That doesn't mean that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Upward. Report yep. in, please. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Go happy.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was an amazing conversation, Sherry, and we're way, way over time. Otherwise, we could talk some more about it. But I think we would say
instead we'll say adieu.
Exactly. Adieu and till next week.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everybody.